Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. This is your host, Eric Christensen, pharmacist. And today I'm going to cover clozapine. Now, I know if you've been listening to the podcast closely, I did cover antipsychotics in the past. But clozapine has so many unique clinical quirks and pearls that you absolutely must know. I definitely wanted to take some time and specifically go this through this medication on its own. So clozapine, because of so many clinical quirks, pearls, warnings, this drug is not used very often and is used pretty much exclusively by specialists, psychiatrists, and things of that nature. However, its ramifications on the potential to cause problems and or interact with other medications is very, very important, which is why I was going to cover it today. And I have seen significant problems come up with clozapine that you definitely need to be aware of and need to monitor. It can definitely be a very powerful medication, very helpful medication in a patient with, treatment resistant, treatment refractory schizophrenia, but we need to know some of those clinical quirks and pearls to monitor. So mechanistically, I'm going to cover that quickly here. It is a dopamine antagonist as one of its primary mechanism of actions. Also does have some serotonin 2A antagonist effects as well. Alpha blockade, antihistamine blockade, and anticholinergic activity as well. So important to remember those as far as adverse effect profile goes. So alpha blockade can cause some orthostasis, antihistamine, sedation, things of that nature, anticholinergic effects, dry eyes, dry mouth, and things of that nature as well. So let's cover those boxed warnings. I think it's really, really important that you remember this. And as I was reviewing my information and basically re-educating myself, reminding myself of some important things about clozapine, I was not aware that there were five boxed warnings. I definitely remembered some of the adverse effects of the medications, but I did not realize that there were five boxed warnings on this medication. So number one, this is the one that comes up on pharmacology exams all the time, neutropenia, risk of agranulocytosis. So there is a special REMS program basically to assess the safety versus the risk of the medication, because severe neutropenia, defined as an ANC less than 500, can result in some pretty serious issues. If we don't have an functioning immune system, we run the risk of severe infection and potentially death from an infection and that type of thing. So important point. We've got to be monitoring, and this program requires monitoring of that white blood cell count and specifically the absolute neutrophil count. And prescribers and pharmacies must be certified to dispense this medication and or prescribe this medication. And again, that's what's called a REMS program through the FDA. So very, very important thing to remember there. Number two, there is a boxed warning on orthostatic hypotension and or bradycardia with clozapine. Now, if you remember mechanistically that alpha antagonism effect, so if you remember alpha blockers, if you want to go back and listen to that podcast, those alpha blockers, or when you block alpha receptors, it can cause low blood pressure. And I do remember many, many years ago, within a long-term care facility, there was a news report on a nursing home resident that inadvertently received a younger patient's higher dose clozapine. And what ended up happening in that acute toxicity was the patient essentially had cardiovascular collapse and passed away. So again, big doses, rapid increases, that's going to put your patient at risk for orthostasis, low blood pressure, and things of that nature. So again, that extreme situation that resulted in death, was likely a younger refractory schizophrenia type patient that was maybe on a higher dose, that could tolerate that higher dose, that was slowly titrated up to that dose. That dose was given to the wrong patient, basically, and in an elderly, frail type patient, that dose was obviously intolerable and potentially lethal in that situation. There were some other medications and other factors, you know, that I don't know the 100% details, but this definitely certainly could have played a role in that death. Seizures, another boxed warning, so keep that in mind. In patients who, you know, you see that they're on phenytoin, you see they're on, you know, maybe Keppra, that type of medication to prevent seizures. If you see clozapine added, that is going to increase their risk of seizures. So certainly important to be aware of. And that risk is dose related, much like orthostatic hypotension. If, you know, you use a higher dose, there's more and more likelihood that you could induce a seizure. Cardiomyopathy, so if you notice any tachycardia, EKG changes, things of that nature, heart trouble, definitely report that back to the person, individual that's prescribing clozapine and or, you know, their primary provider, their cardiologist, for further assessment, workup to see if they feel like clozapine is potentially causing that. So again, another boxed warning there. And then, of course, lastly, we've got the increased mortality in treating patients with dementia-related psychosis in using antipsychotics. So that's kind of across the board with all antipsychotics there. So let's take a quick break from our sponsor, MedEd101.com. If you in the market for resources, clinical pharmacy pearls, education, board certification for BCPS, ambulatory care, geriatrics, as well as the NAPLEX if you're a student. Go check out the resources. Support our sponsor, MedEd101.com. If you like the podcast, Real Life Pharmacology, there's no doubt in my mind you're going to like the resources provided at that location as well. So go check out MedEd101.com/store and check out the resources there and support this podcast as well. So finishing up on drug interactions, we've got a lot to cover here as well. And I wanted to start with one really unique one that I have seen cause clinical impacts in actual practice. And one of those is smoking. Now, that's a really, really unique drug interaction. But smoking actually causes induction of, primarily in this case, CYP1A2. So that's an enzyme that breaks down the drug, clozapine. And when patients smoke, they actually induce that enzyme. So that's going to end up resulting in lower concentrations of clozapine. And I've seen some estimates in the 20 to 40% range for that reduction in concentrations. Now, here's the kicker. We want patients to quit smoking. It's very important that they quit smoking due to multiple health reasons. However, in that process of smoking cessation, once patients quit smoking, that enzyme induction goes away. So that means a patient that was stable on clozapine, who has now stopped smoking, they are going to be at increased risk for clozapine toxicity and higher blood concentrations of clozapine. And I absolutely have seen this being a contributing factor to sedation, to orthostasis, things of that nature, adverse effects from clozapine because they have quit smoking. So very, very important to monitor, to assess patients who were thinking about quitting smoking and recognizing the fact that if they are on clozapine, those concentrations likely will go up when they stop smoking. So very, very unique drug interaction. and something that, you know, I think you need to pay attention to, because I definitely know a lot of this patient population does have trouble with addiction and things of that nature, and they very well may be smokers who are taking clozapine. So important to remember that. QTC prolonging agents. I think I covered that a little bit in the antipsychotics section before, but you know, your amiodarones, your Zofrans, your antibiotics like quinolones and macrolides potentially. Those are all agents that can add on to that QTC prolonging effect, which clozapine can certainly do as well there. Enzyme inducers. Classically, I think of the herbal supplement St. John's Wort. So this can certainly bring down concentrations of clozapine when you start that medication. And again, kind of like smoking, if you stop that medication, that supplement, that St. John's Wort, let's say, concentrations can rise and potentially increase the risk of toxicity. White blood cell altering medications. So I have seen a situation where a patient went on chemotherapy, and you know, this was a judgment between oncology and the psychiatrist that the patient was using there. But chemotherapy can certainly cause a low white blood cell count, and it can be anticipated that it's going to cause that. So in that situation, trying to figure out whether it's from clozapine and or chemotherapy is a difficult task, and we definitely need our specialists involved in that clinical decision and figuring out what we should do about that low white blood cell count and what we should do with the medications, potentially the chemotherapy agent and the clozapine that's being used. So very, very complex situation, but be aware that both medications can potentially lower that white blood cell count. A couple of others that may impact cause myelosuppression, lower white blood cell count, lower ANC. Linezolid's a medication I've seen generally going to be more of an issue with chronic use, that type of thing. Carbamazepine's another one that can cause some myelosuppression. And again, we maybe run the risk of this additive effect if we're using multiple medications that can cause adverse effects. A couple other things that I think about with drug interactions. So I mentioned in mechanism of action, the anticholinergic effect. So if you've got the patient on other anticholinergics, that's certainly something to think about, that clozapine is going to add to that potential side effect profile. And then the alpha blocking activity. If you've got somebody on an alpha blocker already, well, yeah, certainly adding clozapine could increase that risk as well, or kind of have that additive effect. Something we'd need to watch out for and keep an eye on for sure. So hopefully this podcast has been helpful. If you enjoy the show, enjoy listening, leave us a rating review. That's a greatly appreciated, all you who have done so on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast so you'll get an email and know when we've got a new episode available. That's at reallifepharmacology.com. And I also give away a free 31-page PDF, top 200 drugs, and I pull out three really, really important clinical pearls that are very highly tested, whether it's your pharmacology class or your board exam. Definitely pull out some really, really important clinically relevant things on that 31-page PDF. So go check that out absolutely for free, no cost to you. Just simply an email for following the podcast. And I'm going to leave it at that for today. Thanks again so much for listening. Support our sponsor, meded101.com/store, and we will catch you another day.